November 3rd, 1964. These are the headline stories. Record number at polls. Revolt shaking Bolivia. Republicans holler foul. Direct from the Channel 2 newsroom, this is expanded coverage of news, sports, and weather on Evening Edition. With the picture of the world this evening, here is Dave Wojcik.
Good evening. We'll take a look at the election in a moment. First, international developments. Rebellion is shaking Bolivia. The nation's vice president is leading a number of army and air force units in the uprising, attempting to oust President Victor Paz Estenssoro. The rebels have control of several cities and demand Estenssoro's resignation. Britain's Labour government has started action in its so-called policy to get England moving. Today, Prime Minister Wilson told the new session of Parliament the Labour government would seek to nationalise Britain's steel industry, institute rent controls, raise pensions, and aim at tax reform. There has been an altered casualty toll upwards in the number of Americans wounded in the communist attack at the Dien Hoa Air Base in South Vietnam over the weekend. 31 Americans were reported wounded, but the revised total is 72 injured. The Red Attack killed 4 Americans and destroyed or damaged 30 B-57 bombers. Political experts see a reported heavy early turnout of voters as indications that a record almost 72 million Americans will make their decisions today between President Johnson and Senator Goldwater. The record is 68.8 million in 1960. A late count by United Press International showed Mr. Johnson had received 75,250 votes, Goldwater 71,825. But returns represented only a handful of the nation's 175,796 precincts. President and Mrs. Johnson cast their votes this morning in Johnson City, Texas. The president said he voted Democratic all the way. "I think we will win," he said. Senator Goldwater and his wife voted and returned home to await the results. We now switch to CBS for later returns.
Well, with less than 1% of the popular vote counted on this election day, far less than 1%, Lyndon Johnson has taken a slight lead over Barry Goldwater, 77,500 votes to 74,100 votes. And that fractional vote gives Mr. Johnson 51% of that tiny trickle of popular votes, Senator Goldwater 49%. The bulk of these minute returns have come from the state of Kansas, where the voters appear to be doing a lot of ticket splitting. While Mr. Johnson leads in the presidential race in that state, some 69,900 to 66,300, the Republican candidate for governor, William Avery, is leading his Democratic opponent, Harry Wiles, by a vote, as you see, of 74,500 to 60,600. The remainder of these very early presidential returns are scattered over a good part of this nation of ours as the nation went to the polls on a generally fair and balmy day. In the east, a smattering of returns from Massachusetts has given the president there 20 votes to Goldwater's 13, quite a smattering. In New Hampshire, Mr. Goldwater's ahead 71 to 69. In the south and the border states, and Tennessee was the first to report, and those fractional returns give Goldwater 7,500, just changing before our eyes. It's now 5% of the vote in from Tennessee, and Goldwater 8,000 to Johnson 7,700. In the Middle West, the first votes from Indiana showed that Mr. Johnson with 11 votes and Goldwater with none. Very tiny portion of the Indiana vote, of course. In Michigan, it's 23 for Johnson and 25 for Goldwater, a very close vote, as reported from the first precinct there.
Well, that's a quick political picture. We'll have more tonight.
Good evening. North Carolinians streamed to the polls today in what is believed will be a record number to cast their ballots for the candidates of their choice. There was every indication when the voting began today that the Tar Heel State would remain nationally on the Democratic path from which it has only strayed twice in the past, 1872 and 1928. Most pre-election polls gave the Democratic gubernatorial candidate, Dan K. Moore, a slight edge over Republican Bob Gavin, but GOP leaders seemed confident of victory. In the congressional races, the re-election of Republican incumbents Jonathan Broyhill in the 8th and 9th districts is anticipated, and the Republicans are hopeful of victories in the 4th and 5th districts. The re-election of the Democratic incumbents in the other 7 districts appears to be almost a certainty. All members of the Council of State are expected to be returned to office, and the school bond issue seems certain of passage. The Republican chairman at Oak Ridge Military Institute, Von Goodwin of Raleigh, phoned today, said he and Democratic Chairman Zeke Hobson of Boonville had completed a straw vote, and here are the results. Goldwater, 109, Johnson, 103, Gavin, 83, Moore, 125. But it was another story at Waynesville, where all seven residents of the Cataloochee precinct in Haywood County, the first to report for the state, voted for Johnson and Moore. The Guilford County Republican McGavin chairman, Nick Evers, today accused the Democrats of voting irregularities in a number of places, including High Point.
Well, this morning in Precinct 4, the first thing that happened was the sheet on one side of the voting machine, which should have been Republican, had the Democrat names in it. And so vice versa. So anybody thinking he was voting for a Republican would actually have been pulling a Democrat lever. Now, this was discovered by one of our Republicans who came in to vote and said, this is different from the way the newspaper said it should be. What is the problem here? And it was discovered it was wrong. But at that time, 190 people had voted.
You think it was just a mistake or deliberate?
I think it was an error, but it's a stupid error. When you play with the American principles of voting, everything should have been 100%. We've had 4 years to get ready for this vote.
Evers outlined violations in such counties as Cabarrus, Macon, and Swain.
Well, I guess at this point, by now, the greatest irregularities are in one county, Swain County, way up in the far west, in Bryson City, two precincts, precincts 1 and 2. Now, these precincts are manned by Democrat deputy sheriffs, so it's a very little use to protest, as you can well imagine. Very early this morning, one of the women who was assigned out there to watch for irregularities was knocked down, trampled, physically hurt, taken to a hospital. In the precinct number 1, they're using chain ballots or marked ballots. So they're bringing in the ballots already marked, depositing them in the box, picking up the empty, bringing it back outside for somebody else to mark it. In the second precinct in that same town, they're not using a registration book. This means that you could come in, or you could come in, or anybody could come in and vote, provided that they knew you were going to vote right, that is democratic for them. I understand that they're running from precinct number 1 to precinct number 2 over there and voting in both of them, which is a nice double vote situation in Swain. All over the state, we're getting a split vote. Mr. Gavin is getting a large percentage of the vote that President Johnson is getting. This is coming largely from the Negro vote. They're going for Mr. Gavin. And we want all of them that we can get. And if a Democrat is confusing them to the point where the only thing they can do is pull that one lever, and go for a straight vote, we're losing a large proportion of the vote we think Bob should get.
Voting in Scott County in southwest Virginia was described by both Republican and Democratic judges as one big mess today, as election officials leafed through bulky registration books and poll tax lists. Because there was no list from the banned poll tax, officials had to take from 10 to 15 minutes to certify each voter.
We now switch to the CBS newsroom for election coverage.
Direct from CBS News election headquarters in New York, this is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
Good evening from our CBS News election headquarters in New York, from which we are originating this CBS News evening news program. Across this nation of ours, it appears that the populace has gone to the polls in record numbers. Perhaps more than 71 million of us have trooped to our polling places today and cast our ballots for the presidency of the United States, many states for senators, in all states for congressmen, in many other states for governors, and many propositions on the ballot as well. And now, with the polls still open throughout most of the United States, through our CBS, IBM vote profile analysis, we are able to say that Lyndon Johnson is the probable winner in Kentucky, the first state to be recorded on our board for Lyndon Johnson tonight. 450,000 votes to 261,000 for Goldwater, with 62% of the vote tabulated in Kentucky. But according to our vote profile analysis, our system of selected precincts by which we can determine how the entire state is going, we can give the 9 electoral votes probably to Lyndon Johnson with a probable 61% of the vote. I'll be back with more details of the vote in a moment after this message.
This message message can save you hours of pain. Headache pain, tension, pain, depression, pain, jittery nerves, pain, fatigue, pain. It tells about the fast relief of today's Anacin tablet. Strongest in the pain reliever doctors recommend most. Contains more of this pain reliever than any leading headache tablet. Look, when you have a headache, an aspirin tablet gives some relief. And with buffering, you get some. But an Anacin tablet gives you the relief strength of an aspirin tablet plus added relief strength plus the strength of another ingredient. Headache pain's gone fast. So tension, depression, jittery nerves, and fatigue are gone fast. Remember, an Anacin tablet is strongest in the pain reliever doctors recommend most. Yes, strongest in the pain reliever doctors recommend most. Contains more of this pain reliever than any leading headache tablet.
Now 2% of the vote has been counted, the popular vote in the nation, and Lyndon Johnson and Hubert Humphrey have 576,380 votes to Senator Barry Goldwater and Congressman William Miller's 393,771. That's 69% of that 2% of the national popular vote counted, and for Johnson, 31% of it counted and for Goldwater. And we, with our DCA IBM analysis, have given the state of Kentucky probably to Lyndon Johnson. That is 9 probable electoral votes for Johnson recorded on our board so far. Results up to this minute. Are and the beginning of what should be a very long and a interesting evening here. It hardly seems right that anything as important as a presidential election should be as much fun as I think we're going to have tonight. If you are to enjoy this evening fully, regardless of what party you're for, you ought to understand how we're playing the game here. Here with me in our CBS election studio are Harry Reasoner and Roger Mudd to report on the presidential race. Bob Trout to cover the contest for those seats in the House of Representatives and the Senate. Mike Wallace going to be reporting the election of the 25 governors we're up this year. Eric Severide reporting and observing whatever comes to Mr. Severide's mind tonight. Tonight we will be giving you 2 sets of figures. Keep this in mind, please. The first figures that you'll see on our board are the actual collected vote, the so-called popular vote, although presumably, whatever it is, it won't be popular with everyone. And this year, the 3 broadcast networks have joined forces with the Associated Press and United Press International to form a network election service. We call it NES. Well, this service provides us with 145,000 reporters in the nation's 180,000 voting precincts. This tabulated vote is often deceptive at an early hour, though, and that's what must be remembered. If the first votes reported, for instance, come from a Republican area, well, then the Republican might jump into an early lead. Later, as the Democratic precincts report, well, that lead, of course, could easily shift to the Democratic side. Incidentally, we just had a CBS News IBM vote profile analysis call that indicates Lyndon Johnson is the winner in Kentucky. We're moving him out of the probable column into the win column in Kentucky. Our current BPA estimate will give him about 61% of the vote in Kentucky. Well, now, continuing what I was telling you about the popular vote, those votes come in from areas, not individuals, of course, and early returns may not be totally representative. So the second set of figures is designed to give you a more accurate early picture of what's happening, and you will see that only here on CBS. We think the BPA, the figures I've just been giving you, vote profile analysis, is the best system ever devised for estimating early in the evening probable winners and losers. Our 1,900 BPA reporters across the country call us directly from a carefully selected number of precincts representing every major voting group in each state, but a small number of precincts. Those returns are put into IBM's 7010 computer here in the studio. The returns are mixed with a library of stored information. The IBM 7010 does the complex arithmetic which provides the information, which enables CBS to make highly accurate advance estimates of what the eventual totals will be. Our BPA profile analysis now shows that Johnson is the probable winner in Indiana. That's the state that Senator Barry Goldwater had counted on winning. It is in his list of states he must win to win, but BPA
says now that Johnson is the probable winner in that Republican state, normally Republican state of Indiana, with a possible percentage of 54 to 46 for Johnson. Now, in another area here, besides that IBM 1040, we're working with a second battery of computers, the IBM System 360. System 360 is keeping track, 360 that is, of which precincts have reported and how. The figures come from the IBM machine. The mistakes, and we hope there won't be any, come from us, of course. It's a very highly complicated and a very big and complicated problem for us here, but we're going to solve it for you. We're going to be reporting the popular vote and the DPA analysis vote, two separate things. DPA analysis, we expect to be much faster in being able to tell us who has won in which states. Let's get more details on these now from our presidential desk, Roger Mudd, and Harry Reisner. Gentlemen?
Walter, you announced the voter profile analysis win by President Johnson in Kentucky, and apparently this nine electoral vote victory that he fashioned there in Kentucky was from the fact that he ran 11 points ahead of John Kennedy in every area of Kentucky. The most significant of the showings that the president made tonight in Kentucky is the strength he demonstrated in the small towns and in the farms, where he is registering his sharpest increase over John Kennedy of 4 years ago. In the city of Louisville, always a key to carrying Kentucky, which Richard Nixon won 4 years ago, Lyndon Johnson tonight pulled in a 3-2 edge. And the city of Lexington, Kentucky, normally Republican, went for Lyndon Johnson today by a margin of about 8,000 votes. There's no sign of a white backlash in Kentucky up in the northeast section around Covington. And the suburbs are being closely carried tonight by President Johnson. Republican defections to Lyndon Johnson running up to 25%. In Tennessee, the popular vote in Tennessee shows Lyndon Johnson with a small lead of about 1,000 votes, with only 12% of the popular vote counted in Tennessee. So just on the basis of Kentucky as a key to the upper South and Tennessee, Lyndon Johnson tonight is off to a good start. Harry?
Roger, we've got a very interesting result in Indiana, too, where President Johnson is listed as the probable winner. Although with the tabulated vote so far, Senator Goldwater is leading 46,000 to 29,000. Now, this is one of the cases that we're going to run into through the evening that demonstrates exactly what Walter was saying about vote profile analysis. Those tabulated votes, we don't know where they're from. They're obviously from Goldwater areas. But our VPA precincts, reporting from areas that we know and can tag and where we know what kinds of groups are voting how, indicate that President Johnson will do probably 10 percentage points better than John Kennedy did in losing the state in 1960 and will win by 54% of the vote when it's over. Out in Kansas, there's a fairly substantial popular vote in so far, and it illustrates a point. President Johnson is leading Senator Goldwater by about 5,000 votes, 80,000 to 75,000, with about 9% of the state in. This is significant only as it, insofar as it relates to the race for governor, where the Republican candidate, William Avery, is leading Harry Wiles, the Democrat, by 14,000 votes. This bears out what was predicted, that this would be a year of heavy ticket splitting.
And Harry, one final item. In South Carolina, where Negro registration was up about 145%, some of the machine ballots and machines in South Carolina have broken down, according to the officials there. They're having to resort to paper ballots, and the final count in South Carolina may be delayed. Walter?
We're going now down to our regular CBS newsroom, just below our election headquarters here, for Charles Carroll. He's going to report on the day's other political news for us. Charles?
Older President Johnson said today, "I think I'll win." "It's a horse race," said Senator Goldwater. "You either win it or you lose it. Whatever the Lord wants, I'll live with it." The president and the senator from Arizona both voted early today. So did millions of other Americans. Democrats might hope this big turnout means their side's not as apathetic as was feared, that the vote is big for President Johnson. Republicans might read this big volume of votes as a sign that all those silent voters Barry Goldwater kept talking about are speaking out at last. But for the story of one sure vote for the Democrats, we go to CBS News White House correspondent Dan Rather.
The president was at the wheel of his white Lincoln as he and the Mrs. drove 15 miles from the ranch into Johnson City. Mr. Johnson looked tired, but he was smiling and campaigning all the way into the Paternalis Electric Cooperative Building, where his voting precinct was set up in a kitchen. The president greeted all 8 precinct officials on a first-name basis as he and Mrs. Johnson were given their ballots. Besides the 8 voting officials, there were 5 Secret Service men, 4 reporters, and 22 photographers in the kitchen-turned-polling place. There are no booths or voting machines in the room. The Johnson sat at the same table as precinct officials, making no effort to cover their ballots. The president marked his in bold strokes, taking just 1 minute and 10 seconds to vote the straight Democratic ticket. He stuffed with emphasis his ballot into a small metal box, then rode off to the ranch for breakfast. This is CBS News correspondent Dan Rather with the presidential party in Johnson City, Texas.
Senator Goldwater voted in his hometown of Phoenix, and he split his ticket. CBS News reporter Dave Shoemaker reports.
There was a long line waiting to vote when Barry and Peggy Goldwater arrived at their neighborhood polling place in the Phoenix Country Day School. The turnout in the well-to-do Paradise Valley section was heavy, and the 4 voting machines couldn't handle the business. Officials offered to move them to the head of the line, but the Goldwaters said they'd wait, and they did for 1 hour and 20 minutes. They passed the time signing autographs, shaking hands, and chatting with old friends. When the senator's turn finally came, he spent 90 seconds behind the curtain. Later admitted he'd voted for a few Democrats. Then, as he left, he was asked about his Election Day philosophy.
Oh, I never get worried on Election Day. You either win or you lose. There's no tie in this business.
Where's the day going to go at this point?
Going my way. Come on, honey. Where are the boys?
This is CBS News reporter Dave Shoemaker in Phoenix.
Supporters of Senator Goldwater mounted their Operation Eagle Eye today to watch the polls. Democrats in many cities were keeping an eagle eye on the operation, suspecting it might be used to intimidate Democratic voters. For a story on this unprecedented poll-watching effort, we switch to New Orleans and CBS News correspondent Lou Wood.
There's strong Goldwater sentiment in Louisiana, and the young and finely tuned Goldwater organization here has 4 times as many poll watchers and commissioners out this time than they did in 1960. If they spot voting irregularities, they report to a ballot security control center like this one at the Republican headquarters in New Orleans. With the help of mobile telephones and two-way radios, the control center dispatches a roving troubleshooter to the poll.
Would you connect me with YJ88? 3233, please. Hello, this is YJ88323, New Orleans.
Esther? We have a report of trouble in the 4th Ward, the 1st precinct. The report is that they have 2 machines. 1 machine has been shut down, and voters are turning away. Would you proceed to that area and check out the trouble and then call the mechanic at the warehouse and report the trouble to him?
Okay, I'm on my way.
So far, most of the trouble here has been voting machine breakdowns, which slow up the voting. Republicans say the local election officials aren't equipped to spot breakdowns fast enough, and their communications network is a public service. The Metropolitan Director of the Goldwater Committee says all voters, both Republican and Democratic, benefit by Operation Eagle Eye. But Democrats say it is merely a form of voter intimidation and should be called Operation Evil Eye. This is CBS News correspondent Lou Wood in New Orleans.
The Democrats have challenged this Republican operation in a number of places today. In Miami, a circuit court judge issued an injunction against Citizens for Goldwater, banning illegal mass vote challenging without cause. And bitter charges that Negroes were being prevented from voting by Republicans came from Maryland and South Carolina. There were various other complaints from both sides in Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Benton, Kentucky, all a result of the vote watchers' work and the work of the vote watchers' watchers. In Mississippi today, the largely Negro Freedom Democratic Party announced the results of its mock election, the election designed to prove that the small number of Negro voters in that state is the product of intimidation and not apathy. The result, 59,663 votes for Johnson and 14 votes for Goldwater. Walter Cronkite will be back with you from our CBS News election headquarters in a moment.
Watch this acid test, a dramatization of how the magnetic film in Prestone antifreeze gives extra protection to metals. We cover one metal foil with magnetic film. We dip the other in antifreeze having only regular inhibitors. Acid on each, hundreds of times stronger than any that could form in your car. Watch, in just seconds, one metal destroyed, and after the same time, the other still looks like new. Get Prestone antifreeze today.
You want good music, free from care when your radio plays with
power to spare. Every battery's with power to spare.
Yes, the radio's good company, travels anywhere. Plays with lasting power when you give it
power to spare. Ever-ready batteries with power to spare.
Unknown brands just aren't the same. Get Ever-ready batteries with power to spare. Products of Union Carbide.
Back at our CBS News election headquarters, with 2% of the popular vote counted, Lyndon Johnson, 747,000, Barry Goldwater, 497,000. That's 60% of the vote so far for Johnson, 40% for Goldwater. And our VPA, IBM analysis, has indicated that Johnson has won the state of Kentucky with its 9 electoral votes and is the probable winner in Indiana with 13 electoral votes. Of course, the story of Election Day isn't the story just of figures posted here on our CBS board, but it's the story of people. 71 million of us going to the polls in all sorts of weather, basically good weather today. And let's find out about some of those people in a couple of sample precincts. But first, let's go to Nelson Benton at the Anderson Park Recreation Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Nelson?
Well, this is Precinct 7A in Atlanta, a precinct of just over 5,000 people. Most all of the voters in 7A are Negroes. And there's been a steady line through here all day. So far, more than 80% of this precinct, over 4,000 people registered, have cast their ballot. Registration in this precinct is up 65% from 4 years ago. It's been this sort of picture throughout the South. Reports from Carolinas, from Texas, from Arkansas, from Florida indicate that Negroes are going to the polls today in unprecedented numbers. In some southern states, there have been challenges of Negro voters. This precinct voted Republican 4 years ago. It voted Republican 8 years ago. Today, the experts expect this precinct, the experts expect most Negroes, to vote Democratic. We'll know that story from here in a little while. Another question in today's election is the question of white backlash voting. For a report on that, here's Hughes Rudd at a polling place in Chicago.
Nelson, this is Precinct 14 of the 18th Ward on the southwest side of Chicago, and the voting has been very heavy all day long. The total registration here is 563, and about 2 minutes ago, they already had 554 votes cast, running over 96%. It's been almost that high throughout the city of Chicago so far. I was talking to one of the local candidates a moment ago, and he said that a large turnout like that doesn't necessarily favor the Democrats in this neighborhood. The reason being that most of these people have moved here in the last 5 to 10 years, and according to the local candidate, he said in the old neighborhoods, they were all renting their homes, but out here, 90 to 95% of them own their own homes and pay taxes. And he said that's the way you make an instant Republican. You make a taxpayer out of him. So that man who was a Democrat is not too hopeful right now. This is CBS News correspondent Hughes Rudd in Chicago.
Back here at our CBS News election headquarters, a few more figures have been added up on our popular vote tally. 2% of the vote counted. Johnson, 768,000, and Goldwater, 511,000. Johnson has about 60% of the vote tabulated so far, and Goldwater some 40%. We at CBS News, through our vote profile analysis, and have given... We would find the indication from vote profile analysis that Kentucky and Indiana will go to Lyndon Johnson. That is a total of 22 electoral votes for Johnson. Indiana, Johnson 83,000 to Goldwater 68,000 with 7% of the vote counted.
but it is our sample precincts that tell us through vote profile analysis that Johnson has won Indiana. 55% to 45%, the probable, the final tally. In Kentucky, a similar story can be told. I'll be back with more election news in a moment.
When you have a husband like mine, you have to make a lot of coffee.
Drink it all the time.
Even backstage at the theater.
I couldn't go on without it, but the best coffee I get is right here at home. Lauren makes it.
A special way. I'll show you. I make it by the pot with Instant Maxwell House. The only one I've found rich enough to make a really good pot of coffee. With this recipe, a teaspoon per cup, then water, cold water. Heat just to a boil. Then let it steep a while to bring out all its flavor. Take it from me, girls. The way to a man's heart is good coffee.
Well, it's a good start.
Try it.
Instant Maxwell House. Now so much richer in flavor, you can make it by the pot.
We were reporting to you a short while ago the first two states that our vote profile analysis has indicated can be placed in a won or lost column have now been recorded on our CBS scoreboard here. Indiana and Kentucky, with a total of 22 electoral votes going to Lyndon Baines Johnson. Certainly the president, seeking his first term in the White House in his own right, has jumped into a very early lead on this election day. He's taken a Republican state that Senator Goldwater had said he needed, Indiana, and he's won a border state that Senator Goldwater had high hopes in, Kentucky. Of course, it takes 270 electoral votes to win this contest, and there are a lot of states where they're still voting at this very hour, and a lot of returns to be posted up there before we can say who is the winner on this election night. Let's go to the presidential desk here at our CBS News election headquarters and get some more details on those races that we have now been able to declare.
Walter, in Indiana, where President Johnson is the indicated winner, the popular vote now shows him with 83,000 votes to 68,000 for Senator Goldwater, with about 7% of the vote reporting. Earlier, Senator Goldwater was in the lead, but even then, our VPA precincts, which were from all over the state, indicated that President Johnson would win. Now it appears that his final percentage will be about 55% to Senator Goldwater's 45%, which just exactly reverses what happened 4 years ago. Nixon took Indiana by 55 to 45. President Johnson seems to be running well all over the state. He's doing very well in Indianapolis. He's doing well in the Gary and industrial areas, where there was some thought that there might be a white backlash, particularly after George Wallace did well there last spring. He's doing very well in the normally Republican upper and middle income areas, and he's running strongly in the suburbs, and he's running stronger than John Kennedy among the Catholics. It looks like a sweep for him in Indiana. Roger?
Harry, in the South, the president, according to VPA, already has won in Kentucky, which is a good key state for the upper South, the border South. But if we can take a quick look at South Carolina, which furnishes a key for the deep South, we'll see that Lyndon Johnson and Barry Goldwater are very close. Goldwater in the lead by 11,888. Johnson, 11,413. Just commenting briefly on South Carolina, it's a well-known Democratic Senator Strom Thurmond moved over to the Republican Party in early September. We'll watch that race to see what influence Thurmond's switch had, and also whether or not Lyndon Johnson can break the expected victory of Barry Goldwater down there, because if he can block Barry Goldwater in South Carolina, in all likelihood, Goldwater's victory in the South would be much more limited than the Republican strategists had hoped for. Walter?
Gentlemen, we've had our first indication on a senatorial race. I hope we can get back to it in a moment, but right now, let's listen to this message.
fine tobaccos in Marlboro's Richmond recipe. And Marlboro Select Trade Filters smooth the flavor.
You get a lot to like with a Marlboro filter flavor pack for fun.
Come to where the flavor is. Come to Marlboro Country.
Bob Trout, I know that we've had a call on the race in Indiana. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, Walter. President Johnson's apparent victory in the state of Indiana is paralleled by a victory, an apparent victory for Vance Hartke, the Democratic senator who is running for a second term. With 8% of the state having reported, Hartke has 96,000. The Republican, a conservative Republican, Russell Bontrager, has 84,000. And the CBS IBM analysis of selected districts indicates that when all the vote is in, Vance Hartke will have 56% of the vote. Hartke is apparently the winner.
Bob, that big Johnson victory in Indiana looks like it may sweep the state. Mike Wallace, how about the gubernatorial race?
Well, I just got through talking to Roger Brannigan, who's the Democratic candidate there, and as you can see, Walter, Roger Brannigan now has 101,700 on the tabulated vote, the popular vote in Indiana. Richard Racine, 78,000 odd. But according to our VPA estimate, Brannigan is the winner with 56%. Brannigan said, "I'm very happy, and tell Walter I'm watching it."
Good. Thank you, Mike. Well, you might wonder what the big news might have been if this was not Election Day, but it is Election Day, and we'll be back in just a minute with complete coverage that ought to be of continuing interest far into the night. Long after we know who has won, we'll be finding out by how much who he brought in with him. That's the way it's going to be, Tuesday, November 3rd, 1964. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Direct from CBS News Election Headquarters in New York, this has been the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.